the point of this is to provide the best facts-driven show that we possibly can.
Ideally, you have a glue guy who is good.
Hashtag glue guy, hashtag locker room guy. You can't go sign Bobby Holik to $1 trillion. You can't do these things.
Very satisfying.
The absolute best NYR show in town.
This is the Liberty Blue. Rangers Podcast. With Andrew Shelby. And Nick Zeraris.
Rangers fans, welcome to Liberty Blue, the essential New York Rangers podcast. I'm Andrew Chelney alongside Nick Zeraris. And Nick, we have a Hall of Fame guest joining the show once again. Came on before the season to preview the year, and we're lucky to have him back on with us again. The legendary broadcaster for the New York Rangers, it is Sam Rosen. Sam, welcome back. Thanks for the time.
Good to be here, and I'm enjoying this time off. But on Monday, we go at it for the stretch run, the second half, quote unquote, and the run for the playoffs.
That's right. Well, before we start, because you were on the golf course, so did you at least have a good day? Did the weather was nice, you said? Like, what did you have, you know, a good game today?
Had a great day. The weather was perfect, 75, 76 degrees. Sunshine, little cloud cover to make it to cool off. It wasn't too hot, but my game, bad. It's sad to report my golf game is in winter mode. So I just hit them the best I could. I sank a couple of very nice putts. I had a couple of good holes, but overall, we won't talk about scores.
Well, speaking of things that could be improved, the Rangers started off the season flying. They looked tremendous at 5-on-5. Their power play was great. Their goaltending was great. Jonathan Quick was tremendous. And then the last couple of months happened where everything kind of, I don't want to say fell apart, but they have been playing subpar hockey, to say the least. They've been under 500 the past 2 months. I understand there's injuries in the lineup. Hedl, you know, we'll talk about in a minute here. He's out for the season. Kako just got back. But overall, it seems like it's been a tale of two cities so far for the Rangers. Is that true to say?
It's fairly accurate. I wouldn't agree with everything you said because I think the team has had moments during the – if you break it into quarters, the first 23 games, outstanding. 18-4-1, just the points you made. The goaltending was great. Everybody was chipping in. The scoring was consistent. I think the next quarter or the next 24 or 25 games, ups and downs. There were times when the team would play really well. Some of the games against the Bruins, they played well. Wherever they had a challenge, I thought they responded very well. But they were inconsistent, and that's why you saw what went on. I think part of that is that the league is so balanced. There's so much parity in the league that if you're not bringing it every night, you're going to falter. And they've had their moments. You mentioned the goaltending. Jonathan Quick has been terrific, but he went through a stretch where he didn't win for five games. Igor Shesterkin has had games where he holds the opposition to one goal, and you say, that's our Igor. And then the next game, he gives up five, and you say, what's going on? So there is some inconsistency. I think there's an understanding with this team what their goals are. I think the coach is very clear in his approach and what he wants from them. So this is it's a team that's right in the mix. We could sit here, and I'll do it. There are half a dozen teams that you could toss in a hat, and any one of them could win the Stanley Cup. On the West, you've got Colorado, you've got Winnipeg, you've got Vegas, you've got teams that are capable of making long runs in the East. You've got Boston, you've got Carolina, you've got Toronto is a dangerous team. Tampa's playing well, can't leave out Florida, you know, so they're right there. You have this group of seven or eight teams that any one of them has a legitimate chance to win. I think the Rangers are right in that mix. And then we still have teams like the Islanders. What's going to happen to them? The Devils, where are they going to go? If Jack Hughes gets healthy, are they going to take off? Is their goaltending good enough? So there's a lot of parity in this league. So when you lose a few games, I think it's more look at the way the team is playing and say, okay, are they playing well enough? The style of hockey you need to play to win in the long run, to get into the playoffs and to win in the playoffs. I think that's the telltale sign. That was my phone. Sorry.
I miss you calling Vikings games, Sam. I'm not going to lie. I miss that. That was a nice treat. And before hockey season would start, we'd get a couple games of you calling football too. That was delightful. It was a nice appetizer before hockey season would start.
Thank you. I had a good run with Fox. They treated me very, very well and had a good time calling the NFL. You know, it's special because every week you get that attention. That one game is huge. And yes, I enjoyed doing the Vikings game for sure. Even in the old Humphrey Dome, when I banged my head on the pillar on top of me, but we had a good time because it's such a great town and a great sports town, and really big on their Vikings teams.
So, circling back to the Rangers, what would you say you've learned about this team through the first half of the season that you maybe didn't know coming in?
That's a difficult question, but I would say probably there's a togetherness that not everyone sees. You see it in practice. There's a good camaraderie in the locker room. There's a good feeling of togetherness and playing for each other that in the long run could be very significant. I think the guys legitimately like each other. The players who've been there for a few years, Mika Zibanejad, Chris Kreider, Artemi Panarin has been there now 4 to 5 years. I think there's a real good feeling that they want to accomplish something together. And in my opinion, when I see the team play, they win when everyone is contributing, when they're getting their third line and fourth line involved, little scoring here and there. They have the high-end players. So I like the team feeling that they have. The coach is part of that. He's done a good job. Peter Laviolette has been around, as you well know, for a long time, coached over 20 years. One of the all-time greats, one of the winningest coaches in league history. And I think he fosters that togetherness. I think there's a feeling that if you trust the guy next to you and you believe in him, then team concept will win over the individual concept. And just getting to answer your question, that's what I feel. I feel there's a real good bond and good togetherness on this team.
Speaking about togetherness, and before I ask this question, I want to preface with Philip Hedel. I just hope, forget about hockey for a second. I just hope day to day he can be okay, right? Hockey is fun and it's his job and it's, you know, like that's all great. But the day to day, I just hope that he can live without any issues. Speaking of Philip Hedel, take me through the Rangers locker room and the thought process of, okay, Filipino's playing well, then he gets hurt, now he's so, it's not going well, I have to go back to Czechia, Then he comes back to the Rangers. He's practicing with the team, and then he suffers a setback and he's out for the season. Take me through that roller coaster and what the team thought process has been like through this past, through this process.
Well, when the season started, the feeling was that Philip Hedl would be the number two center on the team, that he would center Panarin and Lafreniere. And then there was a feeling that his progress and growth of his career was unfolding the way they had hoped, that each year he's improving, he's getting bigger, he's getting stronger, he's getting experience. And he's always had the desire to be a great player. Now he suffers an injury. They've got to decide, okay, how is this going to be long-term or not? Then injury recurs. He's out of the lineup. They have to make a decision as to who the second line center will be. Vincent Trocheck steps in and has been an all-star performer. He deserves to be in the all-star game. That's where he's at this weekend. And he's playing. He's always been a good player everywhere he's been, in Florida, in Carolina. He's playing his best hockey ever. He plays with an edge to his game. He contributes offensively, has a great rapport with Artemi Panarin. And I think that line has been one that Peter Laviolette hasn't touched at all. Now you're hoping for Philip Hedl to return because he's a great, talented player. And the hope is if he's healthy, now you have depth at that center position. You want to move Trocheck to third line, you can do that. You want Philip Hedl to be your third line center, he can do that. So they're hoping that he's going to be there at the second half of the season, or maybe the last quarter of the season. During this whole process, he's starting to skate a little bit. They're encouraged by that, but he doesn't feel like he's part of the team. He's kind of out on his own. The team's traveling. He's not traveling. He can't have any contact. It's basically a slow process of improving health-wise. So the decision was made, you know what, let him go back to Czechia, be with his family, he'll feel good, we'll monitor his progress, we'll monitor the medical treatment, and then pictures start to come back of him on the ice with Jaromír Jágr, and everybody's smiling, and now it's looking good. So now he comes back here. Watched him in practice. He skated a full practice, no contact, but he was out on the ice. He was skating hard. After the team went off the ice, he stayed on with a skills coach and working on drills to get back into game shape, into playing shape. The next day, they go to Madison Square Garden. It's an optional skate. There's only a couple of players on the ice, couple of coaches, and I wasn't there, so I can't give you a firsthand view, but all the reports that I got is basically just keeled over. And maybe it was the after effects of having a hard practice the day before, being on the ice again, or just that he hasn't healed. They have never openly said he's suffering concussions or from concussions, but that's the conclusion that everyone has drawn. And if that's the case, his career is in jeopardy. And that would be a terrible thing for a very good player, an up-and-coming player, and a player who really loves the game and wants to be a great player. So now it's just wait and see. Sit out the remainder of the season, get complete rest, and then see where he's at. And hopefully, whatever is wrong will heal, and he'll be able to play a physical sport, which is so demanding. We know that without the worry that with one hit, he'll go down and it'll be over.
In addition, you had mentioned before when we were talking about the inconsistencies, when they had been at their best earlier in the season, the bottom six was contributing a lot. Part of that's been Will Cooley, who's really hit the ground running in his rookie season. What have you liked about his game so far?
Everything. I really mean that. You know, it's when you look at him, he doesn't play like a rookie. Now, he's not a superstar player, but he has the ingredients to be a really good player in the league. First of all, he's a big kid. He's big and strong and powerful, good skater, has some offensive ability, can shoot the puck well, but the intangible is always the hockey IQ. That's what you hear from coaches, from scouts, from other players. Hockey IQ, oh, he's got great hockey IQ. What does that mean? It means that when he's playing the game, he's not lost out there. He's not running around, oh, maybe I should go here or maybe I should pick up that player. No, he knows where he's supposed to be. He's coached by some good coaches, but he accepts the coaching and learns, and you see very few mistakes and certainly no glaring mistakes where you say, oh, boy, what are we going to do with this guy? Do we need to bench him or sit him? No, he continues to be a contributor, not afraid to go to the tough areas, the front of the net, the corners, and just he has the makings of a really good power forward.
And we, you know, Hedl's for the season. The Rangers waived Nick Bonino a few days ago. That was supposed to be the center depth there. Now he's out. So in your opinion, where do the Rangers go from here in terms of getting or finding more center depth? And they lose two centers on the Rangers. Lindholm gets traded. Monahan gets traded. Those were two potential options the Rangers were rumored to be looking at. So where do they go from here in terms of finding more centers that are going to take this team over the top?
Well, I think it's a bit of a wait and see process. The trade deadline is the 8th of March. So you have to see what the next month will bring, who will fall out, who will fall back and become traders and sellers, and who might become available to them. I think the guys you mentioned were players that were at the top of the list for the Rangers, players that have experience and certainly quality players. Lindholm has had a good career to date, good player, maybe not performing as well as he's done in the past on this season for Calgary. Sean Monahan has certainly come back and looks like he could help any team out there. But unfortunately, the Rangers were beaten to the punch and weren't able to make those deals. But that's certainly a position that they have to look for. I don't want to say that Nick Bonino is done with his career. I think now he goes down to the minors and plays in Hartford and plays on a regular basis so that if they recall him, he can be a contributor. He's not one thing, you know, he's not going to be a speedy offensive player. That's gone by the wayside. But every team that he's played with, the coaches and players said the same thing. Very smart player, gives you everything he got, everything he has. He blocks shots, can play a smart defensive game, good penalty killer. So he could maybe contribute on a fourth line basis if he can give you 8 to 10 minutes a game, but they're valuable minutes. He can help the team. That may be the case. We'll see what happens down the road. But certainly the search for a center who could possibly play in your top nine or your top six should someone get injured. That will be an ongoing process, and we'll see what they're able to do. Chris Drury has shown he's willing to make deals. He's done that the last 2 years, and I think he's ready to make a deal that if he believes that it will give the Rangers a shot to win, he's going to pull the trigger on it.
We all know Igor is very hard on himself. Do you think that's part of why these ups and downs have been so harsh this season, is that he feels like he needs to be better, so he's beating himself up a little bit?
I'm sorry, who did you say?
Igor Shesterkin.
Oh, he's tough to read because he doesn't open up as much as you would like. Pleasant person. Say hello, how are you? It's tough to get to know what he's thinking about his game. You know, a little chit-chat here with Benoit Lair, a little chit-chat with Artemi Panarin, and you get a little bit of a feeling. Yes, is he tough on himself? Absolutely. I think the mental part of the game is still something that he has to work through. He certainly, we know that when he's playing his game, he is an elite goaltender, one of the better ones, one of the best in the league. I don't think there was any question for the team coming into the season. They knew who their number one guy is, and they still believe in him, I think. But there have been moments where you say, he gives a... There's been this back-to-back goals where he'll give up a goal and then within a minute or two, he'll give up another one. I think he has to find a way to work through that, and I think that will be helped by Benoit Lair, who's one of the best and just has a great read on what goaltenders need and who needs to be stroked and who needs to be pushed a little bit. But I think Igor will be fine in the long run. Your question is well taken. He is tough on himself. That's a good thing. Henrik Lundqvist was tough on himself. But what I always saw from Henrik was if he gave up a goal, you would almost could read in his face, I'm not giving up another goal the rest of the game. It's not going to happen. And percentages would say that he executed that plan to the fullest extent. So Igor is still relatively young in the league. He's only been here for a few years and been a number one for a couple of years. So I still think he has some hurdles to overcome, but he's on his game, if he's playing his game and playing with confidence, he's as good as there is in the league.
One of the players that is in front of him helping him out is Keandre Miller, a player that has tremendous skill. We've seen it in years past. He's got this long stick and he can take the puck away from anybody in the league. He's got the speed when he wants to use it. He's really good at it. My question to you is, he's been inconsistent defensively this year, and some Rangers fans are panicking and asking for him to be traded and all these things. I don't believe in that because I know how valuable Keandre Miller can be when he's playing the top of his game. But can you explain maybe or give some kind of input as to where this inconsistency is coming from this season? Because sometimes he's speeding down the ice and no one can catch him. Other times he's coming in on an odd man rush the other way and he's not back checking. It's a very strange dynamic with him recently, and I kind of don't understand why. Maybe you do.
I think with Keandre, you're still dealing with someone who's very young. I think we tend to look at him and say he's this veteran defenseman because he's been in the league for 4 or 5 years. And you think, oh, man, but he's still growing as a player. He's a young player. That's the value. I would hate to see the Rangers give up on a young defenseman. They're so valuable. The Rangers have a group of young defensemen that make the team part of why they're a good team, why they're in the mix, why they're one of the better teams in the league. You have Braden Schneider, who's 22 years old. You have Keandre Miller, who's 24 years old, just turned 24. You have Adam Fox, 24, 25 years old. You have Ryan Lindgren, same thing. They have this group of young defensemen who are invaluable. If you have a solid young defense, you could have them, if you can keep them under the cap, you have just an incredibly valuable commodity. And they work hand in hand with the goaltenders, as you know, and you start from the goaltending out. You have good goaltending, good defense, you have a good team. And this is, you know, when it gets down to championship time, crunch time, it's not going to be 6-5 games. It's going to be those 2-1, 3-2 games. And you need that solid defense. Getting back to Keandre, he has shown that he's an NHLer. He can skate. He's got great size. I think he needs to – I'd like to see him be a little more physical, but I think that will come in time as well. And he and Jacob Trouba have made an excellent pair, and I wouldn't touch him at all other than just keep working with him. Phil Housley is a terrific player, former player, Hall of Fame player, now as a coach, just the right kind of guy to have for a Keandre Miller. Keandre Miller was a forward all through high school, became a defenseman, so he's still growing in that position, but he's already proven that he can play in this league as a defenseman. He's got all the tools. I think as his experience continues to grow, he'll improve as a defenseman and maybe alleviate those nervous moments that you have. Look, let's face it. The game is more wide open. There's more offense in the game, more skating in the game, and it's not an easy position to play. And now the coaches want the defensemen to add offense. They want them to join the play in the offensive zone. If there are three forwards, they want the defenseman to make it a 4-on-3 down low if he can. Join the play, pinch in, go to the net. So you see more of that to create offense. That makes it tougher coming back on the defensive end. So I think finding a balance in playing the position is a difficult thing to do, and the better they can do it, the better player you have.
So transitioning from looking back at the first half to looking towards the second half, what are you most curious to find out about this group? Coming into the year, you said it was, are they going to be able to hit the ground running and come in with some enthusiasm and really rattle it off? And they heard you very clearly. They did. They won 18 of the first 24. Like you said, what are you curious about now? What do you want to find out about this group?
I'd like to find out how much they want to win the division, how much they want to finish on top to get the best possible seeding in the playoffs, and then how they will handle the teams that will challenge them. How will they handle Carolina? Carolina's a tough team, and they've been tough, but the Rangers have beaten them 2 years ago, beat them in the playoffs. They know they can, but Carolina's a good team. The Rangers have advantages, I think, in certain positions, and especially in goal. But Carolina's a quality team. How will the Rangers handle the Devils? The Devils are going to be a team to be reckoned with going down the stretch. If they're healthy, they're a team that will be very tough to deal with because of their speed and the high caliber players that they have. Their weakness is they've lost a couple of guys on defense, and maybe that will show up in the long run. But I want to see the Rangers' desire to finish on top of the division and go into the playoffs with a little bit of an edge, because the teams are so close that a little edge could mean all the difference in advancing or not.
And we're talking to the legendary Hall of Fame voice of the New York Rangers, Sam Rosen. Sam, watching Panarin play this season has made me want to shave my head. Now, I don't think it's going to be a good look for me.
He's probably let some hair grow in, I have to tell you. If you've seen him lately, there's a little bit more on there. It's not a buzz anymore.
That's right. I don't think I'd look good without any hair, but I don't know. Maybe I should, because Panarin has been absolutely on fire every single game this season. That whole line has been on fire. That line has been the most consistent 5-on-5 threat the Rangers have had throughout the course of the season. We'll get to 5-on-5 here in a second, but Panarin, there was a change in the way that he played. Now, I mean, jokes aside, I'm sure the less hair didn't make him shoot the puck more, but what was the change in Panarin that you saw from last season where he loved to pass and wasn't the biggest fan of shooting the puck, to now where he is he's ripping the puck, he is scoring, he is beating everybody, he's having an impeccable season. What's been the difference in his game so far?
I think you could start with the fact that it really hurt him when the Rangers lost that first round of the playoffs to the Devils. I think he took it to heart. I think the criticism of his game, of his playoff performance, affected him. And I think he was determined to come back to show that he is a top player and can do it in the playoffs. We'll see. I believe in him. I think this guy is a great player. He hasn't lost that desire to pass the puck. He loves to make plays, but I think he understands, whether it was Chris Drury telling them that, or Gerard Gallant last year, or any conversations he's had with Peter Laviolette, I think he has taken it to heart and understands that his shot, by shooting the puck, it makes him a more dangerous player. And he has proven he's one of the top goal scorers in the league. He's now he continues to be one of the top point getters in the league. His game is outstanding. And now with that line, Alexis Lafreniere coming on, growing a little bit, maturing a little bit, and contributing more than he has in the past, Trocheck and Panarin, who sit next to each other in the locker room and are friendly and get along very, very well. They understand each other on the ice. They've worked together very well all season long thus far, and I think that will continue. And that threesome now can work together without anybody needing to dominate. It doesn't have to be Panarin's puck. If Lafreniere has the puck, it's okay. There's movement. If Trocheck has the puck, same way. I think there's, going back to the trust that we talked about earlier, I think there's trust amongst that threesome, and I think they believe in each other. They've proven that they can all be productive players and satisfy not only the team, but satisfy themselves that they're doing what they're supposed to do to help the team win.
What have you seen from Jonathan Quick this year that hasn't been there in years past? Because coming into the season, we were all very worried. He had a really rough preseason. We all know it was very daunting coming into the season when your backup goalie had an 800 save percentage in the preseason. What's it been like for him this year? I know, loved the Rangers growing up. What's it been like for him?
Well, I think it's a season that he wanted to prove that he still could play in the league and play at a high level. I think the way his career ended in Los Angeles bothered him a little bit. Certainly getting traded bothered him. The fact that he wound up in Las Vegas playing in the regular season, not the playoffs, but playing in the regular season and contributing early on, won 9 games. So that's a contribution to a team that came on strong late in the season. So he was a contributor, wins, helps the team win the Stanley Cup, gets a Stanley Cup ring. I think there's great satisfaction there, but he's not ready to end his career the way it was. So hard work in the off season and the summer, signing with the Rangers, going back, kind of turning back the clock and bringing his youth now to his adult life, I think was a big factor. He's got family, friends in Connecticut. It's been good for him. He's very relaxed. He's a great team guy. Guys in Las Vegas said it. His buddies for years in Los Angeles, Drew Doughty, Anze Kopitar, Dustin Brown before he retired, they all loved the guy. The coach loved the guy because he's a great competitor with a great will to win. And I think he came ready to play. Now, you pointed out preseason. I'm going to put a little asterisk near there. If you check the lineup that played with him in his preseason games, you would say, you know, it's like half minor leaguers, prospects, and half veteran players, but not all of the top guys. So I give him a pass on the preseason. I think the preseason was more get into game shape. Worked hard every day in practice and was ready to play. Season starts, doesn't play early on. Rangers play at home against Nashville and play a terrible 2 periods. He comes in to play the third period, solid third period, faced 8 or 9 shots, stopped them all. Rangers lost the game 4-1, I think, was the final. Now the team goes on the road, and he gets the start in Edmonton and shuts them out. Connor McDavid didn't play in the game, but you play who's in front of you. They still have some excellent players. He shuts them out, and now they get into a rhythm of games. Every third or fourth game is his. One of the 2 back-to-back games is his. So now he gets into a rhythm, plays well, runs off 9 wins, to start, goes 9-0-1 in his first 10. The losses that he's had were tough losses. The game out in L.A., boy, yeah, that should have been a win. But the guys didn't score. He played a great game, lost 2-1. Then he comes back. They come back, and he wins. He's just a consummate pro. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. And he has a great desire, he may have some private goals, whether it's trying to reach 400 wins, trying to become the winningest American-born goalie, passing Ryan Miller. I think those might be private goals, but also he wants to help the Rangers win. He is a team guy who is well-liked, and you know, you can't fault him. When you look for a backup goalie, you want a guy that's going to get you points and get you wins. And he's got 10 wins and 1 overtime loss. That's 21 points. It's pretty good.
Absolutely. And when we watch the, you mentioned lack of scoring against LA. When we watch Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere, you mentioned them multiple times every shift that they're on the ice. They are moving. They are essentially dominating at 5-on-5 in the offensive zone. I know Kako just got back recently, and that line has gotten better with Kako back in the lineup. But Zibanejad and Kreider are two players that we've talked about for years now, and this has been a recurring topic, where they have so much skill. We know that they are two of the most dominant forwards in the entire league. Kreider, one of the strongest in the entire league. I mean, this man, we've seen the video, he jumping out of a pool with holding on to nothing. I mean, this, like, he's got the core of a beast. I mean, this guy is one of the strongest in the league. It seems like sometimes, for some reason, at 5-on-5, they forget how good they are. I don't know where that comes from, because you get to the power play and Zibanejad is moving, and he's getting those crazy passes off, and he's shooting the puck and he's scoring goals, and Kreider the same way, master deflector. He's got the shot we saw against Ottawa. He has these tools, but at 5-on-5, it sometimes feels like we get through whole games and I don't hear his name from you more than 5 times. And it's very strange what that dynamic. Maybe you can provide, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like at even strength, sometimes they forget how good they are.
They work very well together, Kreider and Zibanejad. Blake Wheeler has been used on that line because of his size and experience. I think ideally, they probably would like to have Kaapo Kakko be the guy when he hasn't reached the point where he is a consistent scorer. He has the tools, physically strong, skates well. I think he's still in the growing stages as a pro. Young player, this is his fifth year in the league, but again, 22, 23 years old. It, you know, one of the things that John Davidson used to always preach was patience. You have to have patience with some of the players. It takes time. This is a tough league. The National Hockey League is the best of the best, and there are only a handful of generational type players. Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, we hope Connor Bedard. You know, it's a tough thing. It's a grind. But to be a great player, you've got to have something extra inside of you. Now, getting back to that line, Mika Zibanejad has become, and that's a good example. This guy was the 6th pick overall by Ottawa. When he's 22 years old, 23 years old, they give up on him. Now, everybody, when they look at the Rangers, they know that Mika Zibanejad is one of the top centers in the league. He can play, do everything for you. He kills penalties. He's on the power play, and he scores power play goals. He's 5-on-5. He plays against the other team's best player, number one or number two center, usually number one. So in every role, he is the man they look to. It's a demanding task. I'm not making excuses, because he's a great player. He knows what's expected of him. I think that, in the long run, he's still the key guy, and he will perform up to expectations. I believe that. Chris Kreider, I think, is one of those players at times can be an enigma, because of what you said. So strong, so fast. He scored 50 goals. I think sometimes our expectations may be too great. Chris Kreider is an outstanding player. And one of the reasons I was happy that they didn't trade him when his contract was up and there were rumors he'd be dealt was, as soon as you trade Chris Kreider, you'll spend the next 3 years looking for Chris Kreider. That player, you need that player. Maybe Will Cooley might be that player, but not for another 5 years, maybe. But that's you have to accept his faults or the flaws that he might have and realize what he gives you. And power play, strong, not afraid to go in front of the net, stand there, take a pounding, and yet score goals, has scored big goals. I think he'll be in the mid-30s this year, hopefully even more than that. But he will give you a lot. Will there be times when you'll scratch your head and say, why doesn't it happen every night? I think that's a question that no coach and no analyst and no play-by-play guy can answer. It's one of those things. But you have to accept the good things that he does. He's added to his game. Not only is he the power play specialist, he's one of their top penalty killers because of the speed and the strength that he possesses and the smarts that he possesses at times. He can be a really, really excellent all-around player. But there are times when he does fall off. I think he, too, understands what the team needs from him. And I think when the pressure is on and when it's crunch time, he'll deliver.
What do you think in terms of the way last season ended? Do you think that bitter taste is going to be a real driving force for them the second half of the season? You mentioned it specifically about Panarin, but, you know, none of us are getting any younger here.
I do believe that. I think that loss in and especially game seven, I think that hurt the players. It hurt the team. Look, these guys make a lot of money, but when it gets down to it, they're playing for the cup. They want that pride of winning it all. It means a lot to them. Whether it's the Canadian kids, whether it's the American kids, or the European kids who learn once they come here how important it is. They feel it. They feel it in the room. They feel it on the ice. They want to win. I think they, 2 years ago, they overachieved, and they loved that feeling, and they thought that all I had to do was go out and do the same thing they had done the year before. But it gets tougher. Every year it gets tougher because those teams that we talked about, if they lose, they're coming back with a hunger, the hunger to win. So I think it will impact them when it gets down to crunch time, when this team, unless there's some bizarre collapse, will be in the playoffs. We should have a good standing and ranking going into the playoffs, and they'll have an understanding of what they need to do to advance. And themselves as an example last year, and the Boston Bruins of last year are the best examples that you can put out there.
And last one for me, Sam. We talk about the coaching staff and the brand new coaching staff for the Rangers this year. Michael Pekka has been instrumental in the faceoffs. Rangers have been dominant in the faceoffs this season, and that's in no small part to the way that he's been coaching the Senators. What else have you seen from this coaching staff that the changes that they've made, or one specific thing that maybe people that are just coming to the game or just watching won't be able to see, but during practice or in video sessions that these coaches are making to the game plan or to the way that they prepare that has changed the team in a positive way?
Well, I think you start with the fact of who these players are and what they accomplished in their careers. You start with a Hall of Famer in Phil Housley, who's been a head coach in the league and works very closely with Peter Laviolette. Go back to the head coach right at the top. One thing that people don't see, people who cover the team and are around the team on a regular basis are fortunate enough to see these practices, is Peter Laviolette is the man. He commands the practice. His voice booming. You hear him. He lets them know. They'll have their meetings beforehand. They'll have their video sessions. They go out on the ice, and he's the man that runs the practices. Every once in a while, Dan Muse, who was with Peter in Nashville and was part of the U.S. National Development Program, an excellent coach. They have skills coach. Michael Pekka, you mentioned, he'll work with the forwards, face-offs. Everybody's involved. It's not just the number one, or it's not just Zibanejad. It's not just Jimmy Vesey's taking face-offs, and Nick Bonino was, and Alexei Lafreniere does, and they come in. Everybody works the face-off. So everybody is being coached to be better in the various parts of the game that are important to the success of the team. Phil Housley with the defenseman. Every practice before they end, they're coming in, taking passes on the move, shot. Pass, shot. No hesitation. He makes the pass. They get the puck. One side, they're shooting right away. So they're learning. Defenseman joins the play, joins the rush, takes the shot. They do it on each side of the ice. They're little things. They do them over and over again. The repetition is obviously very important. But these are things, and most teams do them, but you're dealing with a Hall of Famer in Phil Housley, an excellent defensive player in Michael Pekka, who knows how to handle forwards and was involved in penalty killing and face-offs and power plays at times as well. And then, of course, you're dealing with the head coach who's been there for 20 years and has won close to 800 games and has won a Stanley Cup and been to other finals. So I think that brings out the belief from the players. They believe in the coaches, and that makes them willing to work at a level that can provide success for the team.
The legendary Hall of Fame voice of the New York Rangers, Sam Rosen. Sam, I mean, again, we say this every time we come on. Thank you for every, we ask you so many questions, and some of them aren't easy to answer because, we really get in the weeds of this team because we love the team so much.
And you don't want to get me in trouble, right?
That's right. We don't want to get you in trouble, but we do this, we care so much about the team, and all we want to do is see the team succeed, and we really appreciate your time as always. When the team gets to the playoffs, because they will, I'm not saying anything else, they will definitely get to the playoffs. You heard it here first. Will you come back on to preview the playoffs with us?
Sure.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sam. You're the absolute best. Hall of Famer. I can't thank you enough. You're the absolute man. And Sam, thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys. It's a pleasure to come on and talk hockey and talk Rangers, and love it. Thank you.
The legendary Sam Rosen joins Liberty Blue Podcast. I'm Andrew Cholny alongside Nick Zeraris. We'll talk to you on Monday.